Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, we praise you. You may be seated tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to his name. If you have your Bibles opened up to the book of Exodus, I think it is. Is that where I started at? Amen. Let her praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You don't know what people have went through. You don't know what they've gone through, what they have to deal with all week long. Amen. We worry about why people run. You don't know what they've been through. People lay on the floor. You don't know what they've been through. Folks yell at the top of their voices. You have no idea what they have been through, how they have fought to make it to the point that they've made it to. Amen. We are learning to live in dying places. Amen. Hallelujah. How many understand that? That we are learning to live in dying places. It's not easy, but with God, we can do all things that strengtheneth us. Amen. As we take this little journey through the Bible, if you've been in the Bible study, we were talking about Joseph. As we began talking about Joseph, in the book of Genesis, we talked about how Joseph was thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, accused of fornication and adultery, thrown into prison, and yet he still delivered Egypt. Amen. All the time he was living through dying places. When he was in the pit, that was a dying place, but he lived. When he was in prison, it was a dying place, but he lived. When he was under affliction, he was in a dying place, but he learned to live. And once he learned to live, he helped deliver Egypt, and it was what? It was over. And he moved on. You are living in dying places in your life that make you feel like you can't make it. Want you to think that it's all over and there's nowhere to go and there's no one to turn to and there's no one to look to. But I got news to you. God will teach you how to live in your dying places. He will show you how to mount up and stand and fly as wings as an eagle in your dying places. He will teach you how to sing songs of Zion in your dying places. Because see, it's only a dying place. It's not a burial place. It's just a dying place. And sometimes God wants some things in our lives to die out so that he can make us and form us and transform us into that which he wants us to become. So it's important that we understand. Look at Moses. If you look at Moses in the third chapter of Exodus, it says, now the first verse, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. Look at Moses. Here he was, born and raised in the house of Pharaoh, the nicest clothes, the best of everything, the best horses, the best food, everything he could possibly want, lived in the greatest homes, anything and possibly that he wanted, if he thought about it, he had it. Why? Because that's the way he was raised. But now we look at a man that's living on the backside of the desert. This is his dying place. He's living, but he's learned to live in dying places. He learned to serve God in his dying place. And while serving God in his dying place, God spoke to him out of a bush. If you'll learn to live in your dying places, God will speak to you out of your dying bush. Your dying bush might be a word of inspiration. Your dying bush might be a song. Your dying bush might be another preacher preaching. Your dying bush might be a cloud in the sky. Your dying bush might be the rain. It might be anything. God can use anything to encourage and to strengthen you. But you've got to learn to live through your dying places. You can't give up and you can't run back. You've got to learn to stand and live through dying places as Moses looked, and he was living on the backside of the desert, cleaning up sheep's dung, taking care of sheep, once a prince, once a king, once having all the money in the world, having all the control that he could have. Now all he's doing is taking care of another man's sheep and cleaning up sheep dung. But yet he learned to live, and he learned to do it according as God wanted him to. Now living in the dying place, God blessed him, and God spoke to him out of a burning bush. And we know that's a miracle in itself, because when a bush begins to burn, it burns up. But this bush did not burn because it was the glory of God. It's the glory of God that will reveal itself to you when you think you are in your dying place and you cannot make it. God will speak out through you, and he will explain to you, my son, my daughter, be not stern, be not afraid, be not stirred up. Know that I am with you. Know that I will encourage you. Know that I will strengthen you. Know that I can fortify you. All you've got to do is stand on the promises of the word of God and pray and seek my face. And in your seeking, you will find out that there is nothing that I will withhold from you. But you've got to learn to live in the midst of your dying places. Hallelujah. Folks don't want to live in the midst of their dying places. They want to run, find a way out, do crazy things. Look at Job, poor Job. Lost everything. Turn to Job. Turn to the book of Job, the 42nd chapter. It's amazing. He lost his children, his cow, everything Job lost. Then his wife turned to him and said, Job, curse God and die. And he began to, he put himself in sackcloth and ashes and began to scrape the boils from his body as he had boils on his body. But he said, I'm going to serve the Lord. Why? Because in his dying places, he realized that if he stood for God, God would bring him out. But he had buddies that came along. Eliphaz and Sheraz came to call themselves, encouraging him, telling him that maybe he missed God was the reason he was in the situation he was in. Maybe he did something wrong. That's why he wasn't in the, why he lost his children. He did something wrong. That's why he had boils. But if you find out, he lived through his dying place. He never got, he still gave God the praise. When they tried to discourage him, he praised his God. When they talked to him, he praised his God. You'll find out. And then when you get to the last chapter, you find out in the 42nd chapter of Job, it says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth his counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understand not, these too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of thy ear, but now mine eyes seeth thee. When you live through your dying places, and you allow God to encourage you and strengthen you, not only will you come to a place of understanding, but then you will come to a place where you can see your God. I want to see God. I want to see my God. Amen. But sometimes you got to live through those places that you feel like you're dying in, that want to kill you and want to strangle you. I mean, sometimes it feels like circumstance and trial, they have you in a stroke hole. But God said, if you put your faith and your confidence in him, he will deliver you. Why? Because he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you even until the end of the world. I am Alpha and I am Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the beginning of your problem and I am the end of your problem. Hallelujah. But look what God does. God is great. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these things unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz and the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. For ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job had. They got everything. Job has lost everything. He's living in a dying place, but he hasn't forgotten to give God the praise. But here are these two call themselves giving God praise, but not really giving God praise. What they're really doing is ridiculing Job because he's lost things, trying to accuse him of doing this because he lost them. But God will fight your battle for you. When you live in your dying places and you learn to praise praise God in the midst of your dying places, when you learn to worship God in the midst of your dying places, when you learn to serve God in the midst of your dying places, regardless of how you feel, you do that which is right in the eyes of God in the midst of your dying places. God will give you light. God will restore your joy. God will restore your peace. God will bring you out. And if God can't bring you out, you can't be brought out. My God. For you have not, your Job, therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. God is not playing. God might have. You might be in this place because that's where God wants you to. Because you might have been living high on the hog and you couldn't hear from the Lord. Oh, my God. Whew. Let's go to, look at Ruth. Go to the book of Ruth. We're just going through the Bible. We're just kind of floating here, helping ourselves. In the book of Ruth. If you know the book of Ruth, Naomi had lost her husband and her 2 sons had died. And she had 2, 3 daughters-in-laws. And she told her daughters, leave, do not go with me. Naomi, the name in the Hebrew, means pining away. Ruth's name means beauty. And so they told them to leave us. She said, leave us. I have nothing for you. I have no more husbands in my womb for you. So follow me not. I'm going where there's sadness. But Ruth said, no, I will cleave to you. I will cleave to you and I will stay with you. Why? Because Ruth realized that it was her dying place. And if she stuck with her in her dying place, God would bring us to a place of living. In the midst of staying with Naomi, she met Boaz. Boaz is a type of Christ. I got to tell you something. And she got blessed above and beyond measure because she stood with the woman of God in spite of circumstance. Sometimes in your dying place, God is preparing a greater place for you, but you got to hold fast to your profession of faith without moving. You got to keep pressing toward the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. You can't look to the left, you can't look to the right, but you got to believe your God and you got to trust in your God, and you can't let anyone shake your faith in God, because men will come to shake your faith, women will come to shake your faith, things will come to shake your faith. Ah, but you got to believe God regardless of what things happen. God already promised you, and if you hold fast to your promise, God will bring it to pass for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh my God. Oh, poor Jesus, we call him poor Jesus. Love God, my Lord. Jesus was in the Gethsemane, and he told them to wait and pray while he went up to pray. And he was living in a dying place. He was living in a dying place. And as he lived through his dying place, he spoke to his father. He said, Lord, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But in the midst of his dying place, he come to himself and realized that it was his flesh that was speaking. But nevertheless, Father, not my will be done, but your will be done. When you're living through dying places, you have to recognize that it's not your will that God wants to bring forth, but it's his will that he wants to bring forth. It's his desire that he's trying to bring forth out of you. In the midst of dying places, God wants to change you, transform you, renew you, teach you, give you greater understanding, show you what the wisdom of God is. But we reject the wisdom of God because it takes us in a direction that we don't want to go. We reject understanding because it tells us things we don't want to hear. We reject the things of God because we want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, and how we want to do it. But God says, you got to hear me this day and understand that you're living in dying places so that I can be a blessing to you, so that I can show you, so that I can keep you, so that I can instruct you, so I can teach you the right way to go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody give God some praise tonight. My God, my God. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Ah, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Hallelujah. Because you're going to realize that your dying place is actually your living place. It's a place that God is trying to bring you for. Paul, after all the great things that he had did for God, all the great things, the mighty things, if you turn to the 2 Corinthians, hallelujah. Boy, we're taking a trip. My poor Bible is just falling apart here. The 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Now you remember, Paul is this man of God, raising the dead. They even thought he was a god when he landed on the island because a serpent came up out of the fire. How many snakes do you know that can live in fire? I don't know about you, but I watched the Animal Channel and the History Channel, and I haven't seen one that can live in fire. Now, they can live in water, they can live in heat, they can live on mountains, they can live in snow, but they can't live in fire. But it says this serpent came up out of the fire. Why? Because there are things that are going to come up out of the fire that latch hold to you, to try to destroy you. But because of the power of God that's in your life, you have the ability to shake it off and move on with your life. Why? Because you're living in dying places, but God is giving you something more spectacular than anything you can ever be. Then Paul said, Father, in the second chapter of 2 Corinthians, it says, in the 12th chapter, the 7th verse, Paul says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that I might depart, that it might depart from me. Here is this man of God asking, Lord, why have you allowed Satan to buffet me? Why? Because Paul is living in a dying place. He's living in a dying place, but he knows that there's life in the midst of all of it. He understands that there's life in the midst of his dying place. But Lord, why is this? You know why he said that? Paul said that for the simple fact he wrote the whole 7th chapter of Romans, which says what? It talks about flesh. I know that I could do good, but when I try to do good, evil is always present. I found out that there is another law that is operating in my flesh that I have no control over. When I try to do good, evil is always there. When I try to do the right thing, I do the wrong thing. That which I would do, I won't do, and that I should do, I won't do. Why? Paul said, but nevertheless, less, Lord, I know this. And then the Lord spoke unto Paul, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Why? Because in your dying place, God is going to make your strength strong. His grace is sufficient for you, and God will encourage you, and God will strengthen you, and God will raise you up. So don't whine and cry because you're living in a dying place. Don't give up because you're living in a dying place. Don't look to the left or the right because you're living in a dying place. But stay focused on that which God has already prophesied to your heart. God said he would bring you forth. God said he would bring you out, and then he would take you back in to the blessing of God. Moses stood up on the mountaintop after they come out of Egypt, wondering which way they were going to go. And he spoke to God, and God said, Moses, raise up your staff. Raise up your staff and command the waters to part. And Moses decided, he raised up his staff and commanded the waters to part. And what happened? The waters parted. Why? Because he was living in a dying place, but yet he was living according to the power of God. When you live according to the power of God, God will open up your Red Seas. He'll part your Jordans. He'll pull down your mountains. He'll open up your seas. So, you feel like you're living in dying places because of your troubles and your trials and your situations and your circumstances. But you have to say to yourself, it's over. Hallelujah. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I'm in this dying place, Lord, but it's over. I may not feel good, Lord, but it's over. There's trial and tribulation all around me, Brother Calvaba, but it's over. Hallelujah. It may not be gone, but it can't affect me anymore. It can't separate me from the power and from the love of God. It can't separate me from my calling, and it can't separate me from my chosen agenda, that which God has already predetermined for my life. So what do? I pick myself up and I shake myself off and I move on and I shake the dust off and I move on. I shake the flesh off and I move on into that which God has already prophesied, which God has already ordained, which God has already set forth. So what? You're living in dying places. Accept it and praise God for it, because God's trying to do a new thing in your life. God's trying to take you higher than you've ever been before. He's trying to give you greater understanding than you ever had. He's trying to give you greater knowledge than you've ever received before. This is your hour. This is your season to have what God has promised you. Come on and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Everybody stand. Living through dying places, it's over. It's over. Say, it's over. It's over. It's over. Hallelujah. Now it's up to you to make sure that it's over. Amen. In your dying place, sometimes God wants to take you into a realm that only he can take you into. But in order to do that, he's got to take you by yourself. It's a lonely place. It's a deserted place. It's a place that nobody wants to go. It's the place nobody wants to be, because you don't see anything. You don't hear anything. You don't feel anything. All you're searching for is the presence of God. You pray for the presence of God because you're in a dying place. You're in a lonely place. You're in a whispering place. But yet you know that God is with you, because he said he'd be with you always, even until the end of the world. And one thing about God, his word is never a lie. He's always telling the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're living in that dying place tonight and you need God to move for you, I want you to come stand across this front. I'm going to ask the ministers and the elders to come tonight.